Hey there, Vermont Edition listeners. Hope you like dogs, because this one is short and sweet like a Dachshund. How do I know? Because I'm Tedra Meyer, Vermont Edition producer, and I just edited it down. Hope you like it.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela LaFrac. Today on the show, it's our annual summer book show. Now, this show is, I have to admit, a little bit self-serving because a couple of us on the Vermont Edition team are about to head out for a little vacation time, and we are so excited to have time to catch up on our reading and to get some book recommendations. Today, we are joined by three guests from different parts of the state to suggest some good summer books for all of us from many different genres. First, we have with us Nancy Brouse, the owner and frontlist buyer at Everyone's Books in Brattleboro. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having me on.
Yes, so glad you could join us. We also have Andrea Jones, co-owner of the Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick. Andrea, welcome.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
And last but not least, we have Renee Ursitti, a librarian at Ilsley Public Library in Middlebury. Hi, Renee.
Hi, thanks for having us on the show.
Now, our distinguished panel, if you don't mind, I'm actually going to go to the phones first here because we have a caller who I hear is on his lunch break and just has a couple minutes, but really wants to give us a book recommendation. So let's go to Luke in Waitsfield first. Luke, kick us off.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your recommendation?
I just read a book of poems called Field Music by Alexandria Hall. She's originally a Vermont author, and it's about largely about growing up in rural Vermont. And I'm not much of a poetry reader, so it was a nice introduction. It's really got me on a fun kick. I liked it a lot.
Oh, and can I ask why did you decide to read this book if you're not usually a poetry reader?
I don't really know. My friend has been trying to get me into it some, and I was at the Tempest bookstore here in Waitsfield and saw it on the shelf and thought it seemed interesting enough, took it home, and I loved it.
Great. Well, Field Music by Alexandria Hall. Thanks so much for the call, Luke. All right, let's kick it off with a recommendation from each member of our panel. Nancy, let's start with you. What's one book you would recommend this summer?
Well, everyone on my staff has really enjoyed, including me, a book called The Music of Bees by Eileen Garvin. We feel like it's a perfect summer read. It's basically about three individuals who all have suffered great losses in the recent past, and they come together in a really beautiful way to become friends. And they largely center around the raising of bees. And there's a lot of really interesting detail about that also. It's just a beautiful story, and we all loved it.
Oh, interesting. I've been wanting to learn more about bees ever since we did a show about bees here on Vermont Edition. And I know we have lots of at-home beekeepers, too. You mentioned that that everyone on your staff read this book, or a lot of folks did. Does that happen a lot? Do you pass books around?
A lot, yes. And it's enough. We definitely discuss books.
I mean, yes.
Absolutely. And it is a novel. I just want to make that clear.
Yes. All right. Well, Andrea Jones with Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick, what's your first recommendation?
The first one I have is called The Patron Saint of Second Chances, and it's by Christine Simon. And this is a perfect escape novel because it takes you to the small village of Prometto in Italy, population 212. Mm-hmm. And the main character is a part-time vacuum cleaner repair person and part-time self-appointed mayor of this town who learns that if the plumbing does not get updated to the tune of 70,000 euros, everyone in the town will have to relocate. And rather than telling the townspeople that that's what's going to happen, he hooks onto this scheme that if word gets out that a movie starring a famous movie star, Dante Rinaldi, is going to be filmed in Prometto, then income will come into their town and save the town. And so it becomes sort of a comedy of errors, you know, everything that can go wrong. And in the process of trying to save the town, the community comes together unknowingly and unwittingly and puts together a film. And it's just a laugh a minute. And it's everything that can go wrong. But it's also a really beautiful story of a small community coming together with deep love for the community, even if they don't realize that's what they're doing.
You said a laugh a minute. Is this a book that made you laugh out loud?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, this mayor, Senor Speranza, is just, he's a curmudgeon and everything, it just gets out of his control. And he gets a couple people in helping him, his wife and his assistant at the shop. And every time he thinks he's got a handle on things, something else happens and you just can't help but, you see it coming and you just can't help but laugh at this poor man.
Mm, that sounds great. All right, Renee, our city librarian at Ilsley Public Library in Middlebury, it's your turn. What's your first recommendation for us?
I would recommend a debut novel by Shelby Van Pelt called Remarkably Bright Creatures, which has three main characters, one of which is a giant Pacific octopus. And many of the chapters are written in his voice. His name is Marcellus. He was named by the daughter of the keeper of the octopus in the aquarium where Tova works. And it's just a really great story. It's a touching story of how these three characters, Tova, a missing son, and a giant Pacific octopus, come together and basically save all of each other.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe folks who, what was that movie about an octopus that everybody was watching last year?
My Octopus Teacher, I believe.
Yeah.
It was interesting that octopus have become quite popular right now.
They're having a moment.
They're very smart. And in this particular book, he's smarter than anybody else in the whole book. So it's pretty fun.
That sounds great. And we've gotten a couple book recommendations via email so far. Let me read one right now. Elaine from Echo Lake says, I just have to share my favorite book from last summer, Northern Spy by Flynn Berry. It's the tale of two sisters growing up in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. One sister is raising her baby and the other becomes involved with the IRA. Fabulous. Read. All right. That's a good one. First, Nancy, before we get to your next recommendation, summer reading can mean different things to different people. You know, some people like the steamy beach read. Other people like to dive into a big 500-page book they haven't had time to read before. What are your favorite types of summer reads? How do you define it?
I would say I define summer reads as anything that you either is new to you or you have been thinking, I wish I had the time to read this all year round. We definitely have people that come in and they're purchased three or four books for a vacation, which seems pretty ambitious to me, but clearly people do it. And it's absolutely something. We have a lot of people that have lists of things they've been interested in, and that seems to be how I define a summer read.
I always do that too. I pack my suitcase with books and then it's top heavy and it falls over and I get to like maybe one of them. Well, Nancy, what's the next book on your recommendations list?
Well, I actually wanted to recommend a local person, which is Becca Balin, who is running. She is actually running for House of Representatives, and she has a brand new book of her essays called The Girl in the Yellow Pantsuit. And the pub date is about right now. And it's very, very fun reading. It's not at all political essays. A lot of it is her life as a mom and her life as a person living in a small town, Brattleboro. It's just really delightful. And if you're interested in who Becca is, she may very well be our new state rep, I would definitely recommend picking up a copy of this book because it's fast, it's fun, and it's interesting. So that would be another summer read.
Great. That's a Girl in the Yellow Pantsuit by Becca Balint, who is running for the Democratic nomination for the U.S. House of Representatives for Vermont. Let's go now back to the phones with William in Danby. William, you're on the air. What's your recommendation?
Oh, fantastic. Hi, thank you. So I am a new author. I'm a family nurse practitioner, but I'm a Vermont author. And I'd like to recommend my book. It's available on Amazon, and it's called Doorways.
And what? Tell us a sentence about it.
Sure. Yeah. So it is the story of a young mystic who's having experiences that he does not understand, and starts following clues throughout life that lead him one step after another on this really amazing journey, and he finds true love.
Oh,
I definitely would like to recommend that.
All right. Well, congrats on writing and publishing a book, William, and we will add that to our list. Andrea, what is your next recommendation? And before you tell us, what does summer reading mean to you?
Well, this year for sure, summer reading to me is just things that make me feel happy, make me feel good. I'm just looking for escape. And I think that that's what a lot of our customers are looking for right now. Just a way to kind of decompress and disconnect from the world at large.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And what's one book on your list that might kind of help with that escapist feeling?
Well, the next one I'm going to recommend is actually a memoir. And it's called The Marmalade Diaries. And it's by a man named Ben Aitken, who is a travel writer. And early in this takes place in London, and early in the COVID-19 pandemic, he applies for and is granted a home share situation. And he goes to live with an 85-year-old, recently widowed woman named Winnie. And once they start their home share, there's another lockdown that happens. So it goes from home share to real isolation for the two of them, who are strangers when they start. Mm-hmm. And it's written in diary format. And I just loved it because Winnie is, you know, she had been married, I think, for like 60 years, set in her ways, you know, had a life and a routine. Everything's changed for her. Now she has this young 35-year-old man living in her house. And they challenge each other. And there's, you know, the diary excerpts from him, the ones where he recounts their dialogue. She's just funny. She makes me laugh. And I fell in love with her throughout the book as Ben came to love her and respect her. And their relationship that blooms between the two of them as caring individuals in the middle of a horrible thing happening in the world is really sweet and very special.
Oh, that sounds like a great one. We'll add it to the list, which we will have on vermontpublic.org. Renee, what is your next recommendation? And what are your favorite types of summer reading books?
For me, summer reading is a chance to catch up in my favorite genre, which is fantasy. At the library, I run a book group. So I every month have to read a different book, and they're wonderful books, but they're not usually from my genre. So I catch up on all those 500-page books you were talking about earlier, the big, heavy fantasy series. And so along those lines, a book I have to recommend is The Book of Night by Holly Black, who's one of my favorite fantasy authors. This is her first book that she's written for adults specifically. It's a little bit of a departure from her teen fantasy, which is usually a dark fairy world. It's a dark version of the world of Fae. And this one story happens in a contemporary time where magic is real and shadows can be altered for entertainment and aesthetics. Feelings and memories can also be altered. And Charlie Hall, who is the main character, she's a con artist and she's trying to get out of that dark world. And just when she thinks she's got her foot out the door and she's going to head in the right direction, somebody from her past pulls her back in.
Ooh, that sounds very good. I love that line, shadows may be altered. Very
compelling. It's pretty fun. That's where their magic power comes from.
I love that. Before we get back to our guests, I want to get some other callers into the mix. Let's start with Julie in Jericho. Julie, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Michaela.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on. Hi. I really love to recommend this book any chance I get. It's called Rage Against the Minivan.
Great name.
By Kristen Howerton. Excellent name. She's a blogger, but she's published this book. It is my ultimate recommendation for anybody who wants a quick read and will laugh out loud and cry, you know, at the same time. It's actually a parenting book, but I'm not even a parent myself, and I just found this book to be so inspiring and enlightening, and I recommend it to all my parent friends.
Great. Rage Against the Minivan. Thanks, Julie. Let's go to Ross in Hardwick. Ross, you're on the air. What's your recommendation?
Hi, thanks. Well, first, just let me say I was in everyone's books last weekend and in the Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick this past week, and both great places. My recommendation is a book entitled The Tree Line, The Last Forest and the Future of Life on Earth by Ben Rollins. And it's nonfiction. It's the title is kind of morbid, but it's actually a very enlightening and uplifting book. It's about the boreal forest, which is the forest that goes around the top of the earth, as opposed to, for instance, the Amazon in South America. And the boreal forest, according to him, provides more oxygen in its entirety than the Amazon does. So it's a critical element of life on Earth. But it's very interesting in that he goes, starts in, I think it's either in Iceland or Scotland, and focuses on a tree, and he goes all the way around the globe and focuses on 6 or 7 different trees. So he explains about them, the botany of them, but also the culture of the people in the areas there. And the point of the book is the boreal forest is moving north because of climate change. And then that's releasing, it's the warming is causing the permafrost to melt, which is releasing carbon dioxide. And so it's kind of a double whammy with the tree going north, trees going north in the boreal forest, and then the releasing of the carbon.
Well, that sounds really good. The tree line. I want to leave a little mystery so folks can dive into it themselves. Thanks so much for the recommendation, Ross. Let's go back to our panel. And specific question for you all here, kind of in line with Ross's recommendation. I know a lot of folks are looking for books to help them escape this summer, but other people are trying to turn to books for a way to understand the present moment that we're in, perhaps some of the difficult issues facing our world, from climate change to some of the recent Supreme Court decisions. There are a lot of different books that could address all these different topics, but let's start with you, Nancy. Are there any books that you would kind of recommend to someone who might need a bit more context for our present moment today?
So there are, well, if I can name just two right now,
please.
I will. One is by our beloved Vermont, Bill McKibben, and he has a new book called The Flag, the Cross, and the Station Wagon. And the tagline of that is, a graying American looks back at his suburban boyhood and wonders what the hell happened. And he really examines a lot about how things went from, he's about 60, so how things went from his childhood of, you know, like patriotism and everybody's happy to where we are right now. And of course, in the context of him being probably the prominent climate change spokesperson and, you know, spokesperson for fighting climate change in the country, maybe in the world. So it's a very interesting read. And I just wanted to mention very quickly that he also has a beautiful picture book out that also came out this spring called We Are Better Together. And I personally think they're both well worth reading. And then just because I'm being a pig here and taking extra time, I can't not mention the book, The Ministry for the Future by Kim Stanley Robinson, which is, it says on the cover, it's the most interesting nonfiction fiction read. And it really does cover amazing amounts of what things might or might not be looking like in the world, given climate change in the near future, and what some possible solutions are, as well as some possible catastrophes. It's definitely not a book that's all down. It's very interesting, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
Those both sound great. Thank you, Nancy. Andrea, let's go to you. What are some books that you'd recommend to help folks kind of understand the present moment we're in?
Well, I'm going to take a page from Nancy's book. Get it? And I'm going to recommend a children's book by a Vermont author. I think in this time right now, people are looking for things that they can do, you know, to make change or to feel less maybe helpless or feel effective in some way. And I think that's particularly true for children. And so a new picture book called Sanctuary by Christine McDonnell, who was a part-time Vermonter and since the pandemic began has become a full-time Vermonter, is the story of Kip Tiernan and Rosie's Place, which was the nation's first shelter for women. And this was in Boston. And what I love about this book that I find so hopeful and important right now is that, you know, children often have things that they care deeply about and feel passionately about. And we are not, as a society, are not always teaching children that the things that they feel strongly about might carry over to be real action and important change for the rest of their lives. And the story of Kip Tiernan, starting from when she was a young child in her grandmother's kitchen during the Depression, with people showing up at the door looking for food or clothes or help, translated into big change in her community that helped thousands of people over the years. And I love this message that children, number one, are the future and can make change, but and also that the things that they care about are important and true and can shape a passion for a lifetime. And this book is really sweet and it's beautiful. The illustrations are gorgeous. And it's just a really inspiring story, which I think we need right now. And it also sheds light that, you know, women were not allowed in, they didn't have shelters for women because they believed that homelessness, for example, or poverty were not women's issues. Mm. And so this was in the 70s or 80s when Kip started this shelter, the first in the country that focused on women and recognized that women also have these struggles. And I just think it's relevant and important, and it's a beautiful book.
That sounds like a great one. Thanks, Andrea. Renee Ercidi at Ilsley Public Library in Middlebury. What's a book you would recommend to someone looking to kind of dive into one of the issues facing society today?
Well, at the library, we've been seeing a lot of interest in people wanting to read banned books. So I have been seeing the classic graphic novel Mouse go out quite a bit, and a lot of LGBTQA plus books go out. One book that I see is getting a lot of traction is Feminist AF, A Guide to Crushing Girlhood by Brittany Cooper. So I think that people in the library world are trying to understand, you know, what is going on with these books and why would other folks not want us to read them, and which is making them more popular.
I appreciate the exclamation points you put around the title of that book when you said it, Feminism AF. That was great. I'm going to hop back to the phones real quick. We have a recommendation from Jim in Colchester. Jim, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Actually, it's a author.
Great.
Emily St. John Mandel.
Oh, one of my favorites, Jim. Thank you for bringing her up.
She has come up with a new book, which I haven't read yet, The Sea of Tranquility. But she wrote Station 11 about the worldwide pandemic and, of course, the Glass Hotel. And she is just actually a wonderful writer, even though she writes about some very unusual themes. I mean, she did kill off 95% of the population in the first book, Station 11. And but it's the writing that I find. She's just an outstanding author and has been nominated for the National Book Award and Pen Faulkner and other books. So if you can get any of these books, and the writing is so good, you just breeze right through these rather complicated plots. So that kind of makes it a summer read as well. Beautifully written.
Well, thank you for the recommendation, Jim. And yes, that's Emily St. John Mandel. She has a new book out, Sea of Tranquility, which the Vermont Edition team was actually just talking about before the show, because a lot of us are fans of her as well. We've gotten a couple emails in with recommendations. Let's read a couple more. Leanne wrote, our book club recently read 37 by Joy Cohen, a Vermont author. The book was well written and researched, and we enjoyed and learned much from reading it. And then Tom wrote about the same book, a Vermont author spinning a great tale of stories, all with a common connection, the year 1937. And again, that's 37 by Vermont author Joy Cohen. So speaking of Vermont authors, I know we've brought up a couple so far, but let's go back to our panel. What are some books from Vermont authors or from authors in the Northeast region that you have read recently or are excited about that are about to come out? Nancy, let's start with you.
Well, this is actually out. It's just came out recently. We have a local author who used to be an immigration attorney for about 20 years. And she just wrote a book called On the Wings of a Hummingbird. Her name is Susan Mills. And it is really an interesting book because it gives you a deep context for why people are leaving places like Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. And we all have our guesses. We all have been told things, but this really brings you into the heart of how gangs are intimidating people and forcing young people to leave in a very, very, very dangerous journey and come to the U.S. and then recover from that type of trauma. It's very interesting. And I feel like Susan, the author, really has spent enough time with enough people from Guatemala that she really has a pretty deep understanding of what's going on there and what's making people leave and why it is so tragic that they have to leave because nobody wants to be leaving their hometown.
Mm. And so, what was the name of that book again? Can you tell us one more time?
On the Wings of a Hummingbird.
All right. Thank you. Andrea, what are the books by Vermont authors you're excited about right now?
Well, I told you Christine's book. So you said Northeast author. So I'm going to step outside of Vermont for a second. But there's an author named Stephen Rowley, who's originally from Maine, and he has a new book called, or it's new in paperback, called The Gunkle. And yes, and the main character is gay Uncle Patrick. They call him Gup. And it's the story of a man who sort of inherits his niece and nephew after their mother, who was his best friend and also married to his brother, passes away. So he's incorporating these two children into his lifestyle and learning so much from them and you know, learning about a different kind of love. And it's funny and it's sweet and it's just another nice feel-good relationship book, even though it has a sad premise in the background. I think anytime people learn to fall in love with children, it's a good book.
Mm, that one sounds great. The Gunkle, who is it by? The main author?
Stephen Rowley.
All right. And Renee Ercity, any Vermont or Northeast authors that you're excited about right now?
Yeah. First, I'd like to say I second The Gunkle. It was one of my favorite books. It's very touching and poignant, and it's a wonderful look on a very difficult situation. I enjoyed it. A book that I have on my to-read list this summer and folks in our library have been reading since the fall is The Overstory by Richard Powers. It's a book about trees and activism and how we can all work together to save the trees. And it's told by telling different interlocking stories about different families and their relationship to a tree in their life. And it's another one of those great big 1,000-page books that you're all dying to read, but you don't think you have time for. So the summer's the time to do it.
Oh, that just spoke to me. That book has been on my shelf for years since it came out, and it just stares at me every day saying, people keep recommending me to you. Please read me. And I haven't done it yet.
Well, come on down to Middlebury. You can join us. We're going to do a book group on it.
All right. I think I'll have to. Let's go back to the phones now with Rick in Barry. Rick, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, the book is Without Any Warning, and it's about a young lady who lives here in Vermont named Stephanie Schaefer. And I don't recall if you, or I don't know if you had any recall about a boat explosion a few years ago that injured a family in Vermont.
Yes, we actually had Stephanie Schaefer on Vermont Edition a couple months back, right when the book came out. We spoke to her about that book. So you can find that on vermontpublic.org. But Rick, tell us what you liked about the way she told her story.
Well, I think it's very intense, and I don't think she really left anything out of it. And the way the book is written, it really takes you through some of her really, what I would call dire days. And then suddenly she finds hope as a result of a poem a doctor gave her. And from then it's sort of an uphill battle, but it's when she wins. It's really a great story. I personally had some issues similar to hers, but not as severe, which makes the physical comeback of great interest.
Right. Yes. Well, I will second that recommendation. Without Any Warning by Stephanie Schaefer, a Vermont author who survived a truly harrowing explosion on a boat and tells her story of recovery from trauma in a really powerful and honest way. So thanks for that call, Rick. Let's go to Joyce in Hubbardton. Joyce, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I had the very same book, Stephanie Schaefer's Without Any Warning. I was absolutely blown away with how well she wrote, especially for such a young author. Her being in tune with her feelings and the happenings and descriptions was just riveting. And, I mean, it's not an easy book to read, but when you see how she came out and she hasn't really overcome it, but is living with it, I just found it fascinating to read. Just so impressed with her writing skills and descriptions.
Well, thank you so much for that call. Again, that's Without Any Warning by Stephanie Schaefer. Let's go back to our panel. Just going to open it up to any general book recommendations that are on your list right now. Nancy, let's start with you.
Well, one of our booksellers is African American, and she loved a book called You'll Never Believe What Happened to Lacey by Amber Ruffin. And she says, from her perspective, she feels like it is just the most funny and accurate picture of the daily stressors facing African American women in the U.S. right now. And she just really strongly wanted me to recommend this on the show because she felt like it's just such an important viewpoint that people should try to learn, and it's a fun read. So she felt like that's a good combination, and I respect her, and I think she's probably quite accurate with what she's saying.
Great.
So that's one, and I have more, but let someone else go
next. Keep going around. We'll be back to you. Andrea, what's another book on your list?
I'd like to recommend a book that actually doesn't come out until July 26th. It's called Calling for a Blanket Dance, and the author is Oscar Hokea. It's spelled H-O-K-E-A. And this is a collection of not short stories, but each chapter is told from a different character's point of view within the same family tree, starting in 1976 to present day. And the thread that connects all of these chapters, besides the family tree, is one character named Ever. And Ever is a newborn in 1976. And the very last chapter of the book is his chapter, where it's his voice. And he is half Kiowa and half Cherokee on his mother's side and Mexican on his father's side, living in Oklahoma on tribal lands. And this is a story of a man who had some challenges, which I think are kind of endemic in the communities there, but how the community and the relatives really helped shape him and make him into a remarkable man. And it was a beautiful book. It kind of reminded me structurally of Homegoing by Yagi Asi. Mm. I'm not sure if I'm saying your name correctly. The problem of people who read books is we don't know how to pronounce anything. But the structure of just connecting the dots over a period of time and seeing how all of these different people and influences come to create a person, how a community really creates one person. And it was just beautiful. And I'm really excited for that one to come out the end of July.
That one sounds great. Thank you. Renee, we want to go to you, but we have to take a quick break first. We're going to hear from a local author who many of you know well already, the one and only Jane Lindholm. Now, Jane hosts Vermont Public's Kids Bah, kids podcast, But Why? And the team on that podcast, Jane and Melody Baudette, have created a new series of But Why books. Very exciting. The first two are out now. And here is Jane to tell you just a little bit more.
The first book is called Are Llamas Ticklish? And Other Silly Questions from Curious Kids. And the second book is called Do Fish Breathe Underwater? And as you might imagine, the first book is about farm animals, and the second book is all about the ocean. And in both books, we're answering questions that kids from around the world have sent us on those topics. And it was so cool to have a chance to turn the podcast into books and sort of stretch our brains in new and different ways. There are also a ton of illustrations by the great Neil Swab, and it's designed for independent readers, so probably, you know, third grade on up through the beginning of middle school. But they're also great to read to your kids. And we have a glossary of terms at the back for any words that are not easily understood by young independent readers. So you can order them now and they'll be in your hands very, very soon within the next few days. In terms of books that I'm reading, I really enjoyed Kimberly Harrington's new book, But You Seemed So Happy, a book about divorce, but also not about divorce. And I know Michaela has interviewed Kimberly about that book. It's really fabulous. And next up on my bookshelf is another book by an author I know and love. It's Kate Spencer's book, In a New York Minute, a good summer romance novel. And I'm really excited to read that next.
That was the one and only Jane Lindholm with her book suggestions. Now, Renee, we were just doing another round robin with some book recommendations, general ones. What is another book that is on your list?
I would like to talk to people about The Good Wife of Bath by Karen Brooks. It's a historical fiction, which is with meticulous detail. Brooks imagines what the life of the actual Good Wife of Bath from Chaucer's Canterbury Tales might have been like. The woman's name is Eleanor, and she is born and as a farm girl, and her parents die, and she's moved from place to place. She's basically a cast off, and she uses all the tools that she has available, which aren't many, to secure a future for her and her chosen family. And it's very well written, and you just feel like you're right there. And it's also back to your comment about current times. It's, you know, about women and how little power they had in the time. So it could tie into that as well.
That one sounds great. Thank you. We got another email with a recommendation from Sophie in Richmond, and they write, I'm reading Pig Years, the new memoir and first book by Vermonter Ellen Gados. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's her story of working as an itinerant farmhand around Vermont and New York and raising pigs. It's beautifully written in a style that feels elevated but more realistic than many of the overly romanticized coming to the land books that are available. Plus, it's a love story. This book is perfect summer reading. And again, that's Pig Years. Speaking of summer reading, all right, I really want to get to all of y'all's like guiltiest pleasure, sitting on a beach, maybe you have a cocktail in your hand and you want to just be flipping through a book. Any titles come to mind? Nancy, let's start with you.
Well, it's hard to get this right now, but there's this graphic series. It's for young adults, but a lot of people are reading it. It's called Heartstopper. It's very, very popular right now. It's four books that are about like some young lesbian and gay men. The first one is about two young men. I haven't read the other three, but people are really excited about Heartstopper. That would be a definite guilty pleasure.
And it's hard to get right now because so many people are trying to read it.
Yes, it is really in demand and it's really tough to get. But when we get it, it flies out of the store immediately. So that's just something people might want to be aware of. It's not something you're necessarily going to see sitting on the shelf because it's going so fast right now, but it's pretty interesting and fun to read.
Good to know. So, Heartstopper series. Andrea, what about you?
I'm loving, I like for a beach read, a comedy of a combination of steamy romance and comedy. So I would recommend Book Lovers by Emily Henry. This one was really fun because it gives you a little behind the scenes of the book industry. Main character Nora Stevens is a literary agent who goes to a small town that one of her writers had featured in a successful book with her sister, where she runs into Charlie Lastra, who is her nemesis, an editor. and of course sparks fly, and it's very steamy and funny, and you know, has all of the fun things that you look for in romance. And the behind the scenes book world was just delightful.
Oh, that sounds great. I love any book where the description involves the words sparks fly. I feel like it's going to be good for summer. And Renee, any guilty pleasure summer beach reads on your list?
My guilty pleasure is the Crescent City series by Sarah J. Maas. Those are her first series written for adults. And the first book is House of Sky and Breath. And the second is House of Earth and Blood. And it's a story set in another world where humans are struggling to survive. There's demons and shifters and angels and countless other magical creatures. And in the midst of it all, Bryce Quinlan does some butt kicking and taking of names.
That sounds great. Now, I want to take a moment here to highlight some of the authors who we've had on Vermont Edition since our last book show in the winter. A lot of local authors who have written some really wonderful books that I've had the privilege of reading for this job. We had Randy Hacker on, a Montpelier-based writer who wrote AB0C, a low-carbon footprint alphabet. It's an alphabet book for kids with tips about lowering your family's carbon emissions. Ben McGrath wrote the book Riverman. It's the story of a man who traveled America's waterways by canoe and then goes missing. It's a true story, and Ben McGrath is a Hudson Valley-based writer for The New Yorker. We also had on the show Megan Mayhew Bergman, who has a new book of fiction stories out called How Strange a Season. And Megan is a professor at Middlebury College, a professor of environmental writing. Great book of stories. I really loved. Jennifer McMahon with her new mystery book, The Children on the Hill. Jennifer is a Montpelier writer and has written a bunch of really good, spooky, scary books. I flew through The Children on the Hill. Alexander Wolf has a new book out, End Papers. He is a sports writer, but this is a memoir about his family and a history book in many ways as well. And then last but not least, we've mentioned already Stephanie Schaefer, who wrote Without Warning, Casualties of a Caribbean Vacation. And I hope I'm getting this right, but Stephanie lives in Rutland. All right, and back to our panel. We have just a couple minutes left, so we probably only have time for one, maybe two recommendations from each of you. So pick that book that's burning on your list. Nancy, we'll go to you.
Well, one book we really enjoyed, this is definitely a beach read, is a book called Mary Jane by Jessica Anya Blau. It is so much fun. The main character is a 14-year-old girl who lives in the 1970s in a very, very strict conservative Christian home. And she takes a job as a nanny for the most unconventional family imaginable in her suburb. And the results are amazing. She becomes incredibly changed at the end of the summer. And the family that she becomes a nanny for is extremely unconventional, but some of the lessons that Mary Jane has learned in her life come very, very handy for this family. But it is a really amazing story of transformation and a story of just, you know, how much fun it is to be a 14-year-old girl who hasn't had a lot of fun in her home, and she enters into a completely new environment in her life. It's really enjoyable. It's a very, very fast read, but it's really interesting and fun.
Could you tell us the name of that book again?
Mary Jane.
All right. Thank you. Andrea with Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick, what's another recommendation on your list?
Okay, last one. The Beatrice Prophecy by Kate DiCamillo is a children's book. It's illustrated by Sophie Blackall. I love everything Kate DiCamillo writes, and this one was an absolutely gorgeous book. I won't say a lot about it, except that one of the best characters in the book is a goat named Ann Smolica, and it's best goat in a book ever. And it's all based around a prophecy that one day there will come a child who will unseat a king. And because this child will be a girl, people have largely ignored this prophecy.
Oh. Andrew, were you one who recommended the octopus book earlier too?
No.
Okay.
No, octopus scare me.
Well, that's a conversation for another day. All right. And Renee at Illisley Public Library, what's one more book on your list?
I'd like to recommend Taste My Life Through Food by Stanley Tucci, who's one of my favorite actors. And this book, I actually listened to it, which I recommend you do because he reads the audio version. And he's just fantastic. His wry sense of humor comes through, and he talks about all these poignant things that happened to him, and they're all related to food. And he gets it. He understands that food is a way to show your love for someone. Food is a way to bring your family together. It doesn't have to be fancy. It's just something that you can share. And he does a lot of name dropping, and it just is a laugh out loud story.
Oh, that sounds great. And Renee, since you're the librarian on our list, I'm wondering if you could just briefly, we have about a minute left, tell us something exciting that's going on at Illisley this summer or just in the world of Vermont public libraries.
Wow. Well, Illisley is launching a new I just lost my brain. I apologize.
Right.
We're looking to rebuild and make our library bigger and more usable and more user-friendly. So we're working on that. We've got a lot of summer programs going on. Our youth department has got a wonderful summer reading program happening. We've got a free food truck coming to many of our program. So it's free food for anybody who stops by, healthy snacks. And we're just really excited to share everything we have with our community.
That sounds great. Well, thank you. Always got to give a little shout out to the public libraries. I just found out that my local library, Fletcher Free, in their lending library, you can get everything from pie pans to ties, which is kind of amazing.
We have a library of things as well.
What's one like wild thing that's in there?
Telescope.
Ooh, okay. That's great. All right. We're going to end it there. I could keep going forever. Our guests were Renee Ercitti, a librarian at Illisley Public Library in Middlebury. Renee, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Michaela.
We also had with us Andrea Jones, co-owner of the Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick. Andrea, thank you.
Thank you. This is super fun.
And last but not least, we had with us Nancy Brouse, the owner of Everyone's Books in Brattleboro. Nancy, thank you.
Thank you. This was really enjoyable. Thank you very much.
All right. And thank you to everyone who called in and wrote in with your book recommendations. We are going to be collecting all of these book titles that were recommended during this hour, and we'll put them on our website, vermontpublic.org.